The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine.
Welcome into the show. I gotta say, absolute chaos going on. We've got Saul from Taqueria around us in the building. He brought us nice, delicious tacos. We got Sam, the head of our social team, needing a picture to illustrate how great the tacos are. And she got strict refusals from everyone to take a photo of them biting into the taco because those things live forever. Do I need on the ESPN socials me taking a giant bite of a taco? No. Who's looking for that? I don't need that in my life. Sam's surprised that no one wants to be involved in that. Have you met us? I want no part of that. Think of that photo, Sean. A photo of me in an obviously staged situation, chomping into a taco to illustrate how delicious it is.
I like the obviously staged part of this.
Yeah. Then that's if you got me in a candid, I wouldn't like it. But at least...
At least you earned it.
At least you earned that photo. You think... That's demeaning. I got standards. You want to just, hey, Del, pose for this photo. No. Yeah.
There's a lot of talk about it being good or bad for people's brands.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really have a brand, but you know what my brand isn't? Staged taco eating photos. And yeah. you made a joke in there that might have went over her head, but it didn't go over my head.
I forgot.
A euphemism thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I caught it. I just didn't want to highlight what you said.
But you will do it on the radio.
Yeah, it's different. She's not.
We're talking about eating a taco, and I made a euphemism joke.
She's not in the room.
You do the math.
Yeah. She's not in the room, so it's less awkward. But
she's going to walk in here in a second.
Well,
scold me.
She went to Swag U. I think it has a different name now. I'm still not sure she'll get it. Sheltered. That's all. But
Swag U?
That's what they called it. I don't know. It's like Southwestern something, Assembly of God, but now it has a different name. So they called it Swag U. It's a cooler name.
That is a very cool name.
But now it doesn't exist anymore.
That's a name someone would say on the Sunday Night Football player introductions.
Or
when they're really having, Terrell Suggs.
Yes.
Terrell Suggs. Swag U.
And in this case, it would be someone who actually went to the school. And now it has a different name, so it doesn't work anymore. But whatever. I'm trying to figure out what to start with because there used to be a thing with the Texans called same old SOT, same old Texans. Well, last night it was same old Jets. It's SOJ, the Jets team, all that hype. How did those two first drives end with a drop by Alan Lazard? And Aaron Rodgers, you could be frustrated by it, but that's on you. You wanted him there. Now, of course, he caught a touchdown later on a free play that I didn't know they kept track of that, but Aaron Rodgers is the most prolific guy taking advantage of free plays in NFL history. They just had a stat for it. Of course, there's a stat for everything, but he's kind of amazing when he knows he's got somebody off sides and he can make a play. He threw a ball down the seam to Alan Lazard. But on the first drive, third down conversion, it would be an easy one. Lazard slipped coming out of his break, got up, threw him off his game, and he dropped it. On the next drive, it was Aaron Rodgers, his fourth play from scrimmage. There was one, I don't know if it was the fourth play, but people highlighted the fourth play from scrimmage. He just flipped the ball out as if at least to break the curse of lasting more than four plays. And, of course, he lasted the whole game. But on that second drive, Breece Hall fumbled. So it got off to a tough start for the Jets. But they did score a touchdown. And then at some point, it was like, okay, look at the Jets. Aaron Rodgers calling plays at the line of scrimmage, making audibles, hitting Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson had to feel pretty good having a quarterback that was beyond competent. He didn't even have that last year. And then it turns out the Jets can't stop the run. The 49ers ran all over them with a backup running back who had an awkward moment after the game that we'll play the sound from. Jordan Mason, the former Georgia Tech running back, was the starter. It was a surprise inactive for Chris McCaffrey. Unless you were part of the 49ers organization, then everyone knew inside that organization. Just turns out the rest of the world didn't know. And, of course, with inactives, they have to make that announcement 90 minutes before the game. The 49ers knew beforehand, and they kept it to themselves. And NFL Twitter reacted in a not-so-positive way because Christian McCaffrey's on a lot of people's fantasy teams. He certainly can move a betting line one way or the other. And all the props that go into having McCaffrey, those changed or were wiped off the board because he didn't play. So we'll have some sound from Jordan Mason. He had two clips where right after the game, he told the world the truth. And then apparently he got a talking to right afterwards where he had to say, oh, man, that's why the media, I can't stand talking to y'all because when I tell the truth, bad things happen to me, I guess.
All right. Jordan Mason. He's not used to talking to the media after games. He's undrafted from Georgia Tech.
Since probably Georgia Tech.
At Georgia Tech.
I imagine he's had to talk.
Someone from the CW running back is putting up a microphone in this.
Still, it probably happened. I'm sure they played on the ACC network at some point.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's getting the hard-hitting questions from Gene Chizik or whoever's on that
Sean,
set.
Look at the teams in the ACC that they have to choose from. They're generally not putting Florida State, even though Florida State wasn't great, but they're probably not having Florida State consistently on the ACC network. Miami, even though they've been average, not on there. So Georgia Tech probably had a lot of moments where he's talking to Mark Richt and EJ Manuel and others.
Hey, Eddie Royal.
Yeah, I'm sure he's talked a lot to those guys as the starting running back at Georgia Tech. So he had a great night, and then it turned sour, mostly because Kyle Shanahan decided to lie to everyone's face. No, McCaffrey, that was a game-time decision when it was clear that he wasn't going to play on Friday. Everyone knew that on Friday, at least with the 49ers.
I'm not 100% against Kyle Shanahan here.
I don't mind it.
I mean, the whole idea of the inactives get announced 90 minutes before kickoff, they do that on Sundays too.
Yeah,
and they're surprise inactives on Sundays.
Yeah, that's not
the only reason fantasy football players are mad is because this was a Monday night football game.
And also, well, yes, it certainly affected some.
If it was a noon kickoff, then you just swap out a running back.
That's true. But also, they would have, if Jordan Mason knew on Friday, they were pissed because they didn't know on Friday, so they could have made their lineup adjustments on Sunday morning.
But are the 49ers under obligation?
That's the point. There's no obligation.
The whole idea with the Sunday inactives is that they know before Sunday at 10:30, and then they tell us at Sunday at 10:30.
That is very true.
I don't know why this should be any different.
Why
are they obligated to tell us everything, every single thing that they know at all times? They never do that.
It has to do less with fantasy football, I think at least, and more with the gambling aspect of it because the NFL is so tied into it, so they will want transparency. And if you know your star running back isn't going to be available, although all Jordan Mason said he knew he was going to start, for all we know, McCaffrey could have been on a pitch count or snap count, and it turns out he wasn't healthy enough to even get that.
Yeah, that's the easy way out if you're
a 49er.
The 49ers trying to avoid a fine or whatever. But I don't know. I'm not too bent out of shape about it, about this. Like, do you think Cam Akers knew that he was going to be inactive before Sunday at 10:30?
No,
he probably did.
Yes, he did.
He probably knew.
Wasn't a surprise to him.
Yeah, and it was a surprise to us, or a moderate. It wasn't like shocking to us, but it was a moderate surprise to us. I don't know. I can't get too worked up about it. I think the only part that makes this a story is that Jordan Mason said it in a interview, but even then, like,
it became a story.
When guys are out, they know beforehand.
Yeah,
they don't tell us the second he gets ruled out.
I think your point is the one that makes it a story. People want all the information they can possibly have, And because this was known by the 49ers beforehand, and we weren't privy to the information at the time the 49ers knew it was a possibility, people were upset. And we know the NFL has stringent rules on how you need to report the health and availability of players. I'm not sure it needs to be known on a Friday. But it will call into question Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers' gamesmanship that they waited until 10:30 on, I mean, not 10:30, that's 10:30 on a normal, on a Sunday. They waited till, 5:45 whenever they did it, an hour and a half before the kickoff on a Monday night. But really, the team, if we're just being honest, it's, as far as competitive stuff, it didn't affect the Jets. They couldn't stop Jordan Mason. They weren't going to be able to stop Christian McCaffrey. They got ran, preparing for Christian McCaffrey, preparing for Jordan Mason, didn't matter. The Jets couldn't stand up front, and the 49ers dominated them. And it was done by an offensive line that beyond Trent Williams was called into question. A lot of people discuss this 49er offensive line as one that was maybe Kyle Shanahan's worst. Certainly didn't look like that last night as they dominated the Jets pretty much after that Jets touchdown that made it a 7-3 game. So the 49ers win. They seem fine. Peyton Manning had some words for Brandon Ayuk we can get to. Ayuk dropped the touchdown pass. A nice throw by Brock Purdy that he couldn't hold on to. And Peyton Manning, the former quarterback, had words for Ayuk. We'll get to that a little bit later. We'll also hear from your Texans as they were at the podium yesterday. Tank Dell talked about being ready to play in prime time. We have some sound from D'Amico Ryans on the secondary breakdowns we can get to as well. And Jeff, we see you. You want to talk about this Texans defense. And that's perfect timing considering what D'Amico had to say about his defense yesterday. So we'll get to that. We're just getting started on the show. We're calmed down a little bit. After the take a picture with the taco in your mouth thing is over and done with, we can now...
How's that not a euphemism? That's all I'm saying.
It's clearly a euphemism for us, but we didn't go to Swag U. So it doesn't mean it's for everyone.
I think I did go to Swag U. I think UT is Swag U.
Yeah, we're going to have to cut that out right now. I've seen some of the people who matriculate there. Hey, not all of you are swaggy.
Walk in your trap, take over your trap.
That is restricted to your football team. But for the general student body, I'm not going to call UT Swag U for the general student body. I've seen you guys. I've seen a lot of you turn into adults. Less swag than you would think. Jeff, we'll get to you when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that.
That is Jordan Mason with his initial response, which was he was very clear and probably very excited about his performance. And then in between the time he did that on-field interview with Lisa Salters, took a shower, got dressed. At some point in time, someone caught wind of what he said because it hit Twitter pretty quickly. And then in the post-game presser at the podium, this was his attitude about questions regarding his status.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Kid had a career night, and 20 minutes after the game is over, Kyle Shanahan or some PR person is going, hey, we're going to need you not to divulge information like that. So now he's up there feeling pretty bad. He said, that's why I'm mad. Well, it's not your fault. Kyle Shanahan told the world that what you said wasn't true initially, and now you have to answer for it because your coach was playing the game of we're going to keep things to ourselves because we're an NFL organization and we want to be secretive just like all the other organizations want to be. And it came back to bite Jordan Mason for a little bit. I'm not sure what's going to happen to him other than, hey, stop talking. That might be the gist of the conversation going forward for him. All right, Willie P, he wants to talk about last night's game. What's up, Willie P?
Hey, good morning, Dale. How you doing?
Good morning, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. So first thing, before I get to the Monday night game, so funny story real quick. My dad called me back 2 weeks ago, asked me what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm listening to the Dale Show on Apple Podcast. And he's like, who's that? So I told him about you, and I guess he went and looked you up or whatever. And so yesterday, I called my dad. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm listening to the Dell podcast. And I'm like, so we have CNN975? He's like, yeah, man, it's great to see somebody who looks like us have their own show. It's refreshing. It's different. He's like, I like it. He's like, and then I started listening to the show before his with the two white guys. And he was like, I like how he keeps them in check and whatnot. And so big shout-out to Pops. I know you're listening right now. He's a big fan of yours, Dell. He lives in Washington, D.C. Great father. Unfortunately, he's a Cowboys fan, but we don't let that slide.
Understood. Understood.
But anyway, so as of last night, Monday night game last night. So I did a little research. I saw that since 2021, Aaron Rodgers has lost the season opener. Now, granted, they won it last year, but he had nothing to do with that. But 21-22, and last night, they lost the season opener. Does that speak more to the fact that he's not playing preseason and they're not on the same page? Because I feel like with a guy of his talent, and granted, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer MVP. Those guys on his team are new. This isn't the Packers. They don't know his little nuances and certain things when he's calling players and when he's on the run in the middle of the play. Don't you think that him playing at least one preseason game would kind of nix all of the nonsense that went on last night in the first two quarters? Just wanted to get your opinion on that. Love you guys. Love the show. Del, keep doing your thing. Sean A. Mace, what to do, baby? Have a good day, guys.
Appreciate you, Willie P. I appreciate Willie P's dad for giving me a chance to listen in. Thank you for those kind words. Yeah, the fear of injury in games that don't matter overwhelms any thoughts of maybe we should get a couple reps in somewhat of a competitive atmosphere to see what we've got going on. Aaron Rodgers being older, the excuse is he knows his offense. This is his offense, so we're not going to put him out there. But to your point, Willie P, even beyond his issues in games early on in the year, you would think you just want to get a couple snaps in. But we know, depending on the coach's philosophy and how old his quarterback is and what they think they can accomplish, they don't do it. Sometimes they think those joint practices are enough, where there is no contact on the quarterback, that's permissible. So, hey, we'll just do it there. I imagine joint practice speed is a little slower than even preseason speed, particularly when linemen know they can't hit the quarterback anyway. So I'm with you, but it's just how they treat things. We'd rather, I guess. See, I think the problem for me, and it's really this, and it goes beyond the preseason. A lot of coaches don't operate like things can go wrong. They always operate as if the things we plan for are going to happen. We practice this. We plan for this. This is going to happen the way we think it's going to happen. So there's really no consideration, it feels like, for outliers, variables. So I imagine the Jets just thought, hey, everything's going to work out, right? Aaron Rodgers is out there. Garrett Wilson is out there. Breece Hall. We've practiced this over and over again. We'll be fine. Until you get into a game and the 49ers may hit you with something you didn't expect, and it's just simply the pressure of playing in a game and things change. So I'm with you, man. Get a couple snaps in. It's not like, because I was wrong and thought he actually played in the preseason, then I found out, and you mentioned it again, that he didn't. Even if it's a series or two, you don't have to go three series per game. Get a series in a game where your offensive line is whole and healthy so you can protect them, and then maybe get a second series in your next game, just so you have multiple games in a row where you've actually put something out there and see what can and will go wrong and fix it. But they don't treat it that way, and you saw some of those issues. And it happens across the league. It's not just a Jets thing either. It's just how teams operate. And then you see other teams where we're going to give guys snaps. Now, Kirk Cousins didn't play any snaps because he was coming off an injury. So certainly Aaron Rodgers, maybe injury played a part in his too, but he was professing he was healthy like back in December of last year. So I'm not sure how much it played a part. But We saw even these older quarterbacks who you think would be ready weren't ready. Playing football helps. You play better football. And wasn't a lot done in the preseason. So, and it's the Jets, so good for them for screwing it up again, I guess. But it's not simply explicit to them. A lot of teams do it.
Yeah, I saw on the Monday night countdown, I think Scott Van Pelt said, well, there's only one 300-yard passer, which is Tua. And then I think half the league was under 200 yards on
Sunday.
Yeah,
of starters, I looked it up because we were talking about it on the previous show. I think either 16 or 17 of the week one starters finish either 200 yards or below.
Yeah. That's there's a trend there. And it's not, oh my God, defense just got way better. They need to change some rules. Finally, the offense has a chance. No. There's a lack of sharpness in these offenses that I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, I didn't think the Texans were that sharp. At least passing the ball.
Yeah, pass protection and just some of their rhythm stuff wasn't great. So the 300-yard passers in week one were Tua and then Stafford on Sunday night. So those were the numbers. Mahomes was just under 291, and Baker Mayfield was in the high 282. But, yeah, you look at the list. The cutoff for hitting 200 yards was Derek Carr. Derek Carr, 15th-ranked quarterback in passing yards through week one, hit 200. And then you get into the Daniel Joneses of the world, the Jaden Daniels. Dak Prescott didn't need to. If they needed to throw the ball, he would have been fine getting over 200. But Deshaun, we know, terrible. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow. So, yeah, a lot of it. Some of those guys played. Some of them didn't. But it is a problem. You don't take competitive snaps, you're not going to look great. And then it's like almost like throwing away week one in some cases. We'll take the chance that things won't go smoothly to protect ourselves from a potential quarterback injury in the preseason when games don't count. So that's where they are.
The whole like preseason injury thing, I don't know. It's so crazy to me that you don't like you said, you're basically punting. I mean, it's probably not going to look any better on Sunday. Definitely not going to look better on Thursday. Although Allen and
Tua are fine.
Yeah, they both look good.
Now we'll see if a short week kind of messes with. How they game plan and how that works. Because we already know there's a big-time Bills defensive back who won't play, but that's for a different discussion.
Yeah.
But, yeah, go ahead.
The oh, my God, what if someone gets hurt in preseason? So, instead, we'll be bad on offense for the first 4 weeks of the season.
And then in week
and
one.
Hope we get things on track.
And then in week one, someone will get hurt anyway because it's the NFL.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If you're scared about people getting hurt in games, they're going to get hurt. And like, there's no greater chance. Actually, there's a less chance that they're going to get hurt in the preseason than if the first three preseason games, than the first three regular season games.
Yeah, your starters won't be – some starters will be on the field less in the preseason, even if they played all three games than they would in the first half of an NFL game in the regular season.
We're not asking for they need to play the entire preseason.
Get a drive in. Maybe set it at 10 plays, like, whatever it is. Just get 10 offensive plays and see what you got.
Third one, dress rehearsal, just because I like
hell, you know what
there's a law passed that people could only call it a dress rehearsal game.
What I would do is run my two-minute drill.
Yeah.
For just get real game practice in, and we're just going to run a two-minute drill. And we'll see what we can do when the defense is actually trying to stop us and doesn't know our plays.
We'll do tempo.
Yeah. Why not? Why? I know they use joint practices stuff for that, but use it in the game. If you are so afraid of playing in a real football game because you're afraid of injury, just have a situational thing out there in a game where you can get hit and see what happens, and then you can adjust if things don't go well.
By the way, did Christian McCaffrey get hurt in a preseason game?
No.
Oh.
But he was unavailable.
Oh.
Look how that worked out.
Yeah.
It turns out.
It's almost like you can always say, hey, you shouldn't practice. You shouldn't play because you might get hurt. Yeah. You're going to get hurt playing football, guys.
And it turns out they didn't miss him. But it did start a controversy. Julian, 49er fan, will get to you. Eric will get to you as well. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. Want to remind you, we will be giving away Rice tickets. Well, it's Houston tickets, but they're playing Rice. Don't want to leave out the Rice Owls. They're both 1-1. Bounce back games for them. Well, sorry about that. It's almost like the Cougs won. They lost, but it's almost like they won. They almost beat Oklahoma on the road.
Bounce back moral victory?
Yeah. Now it's time to get a real one if you're the Cougs, as Rice already has one. So we'll give away tickets for that later. But first, I want to talk about a place where you could maybe put some money down on a college football weekend, and that's MyBookie. Just go to mybookie.ag. You can certainly use their promo code BET975 to claim some extra bank on your first deposit. It's also good for existing customers as well. MyBookie has bonus options that make it easy to deposit with crypto or with credit. The bigger your deposit, the bigger your bonus. And they got something new going on. They have the new loyalty program. It's called MyBookie Plus. What that is the more you play, the more you win. It's pretty simple. Climb through tiers of loyalty rewards programs to unlock even more epic promotions, exclusive giveaways, and bigger rewards. MyBookie is the lock of the century. It's not Thursday, but we do have Thursday Night Football. In fact, we mentioned it. What they're doing on Thursdays is pretty cool. It's a weekly risk-free boost on Thursdays where you can bet without a sweat. What that means is if your bet hits, you win big. If it doesn't, forget it. MyBookie will refund your wager. So pretty much a can't lose. So check that out with the Thursday night game coming up. You can do all that at mybookie.ag. That is mybookie.ag. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie. We're back, and let's get to, I would imagine, a very joyous and triumphant 49er fan. What's up, Julian?
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
I want to talk about this week one trend. Y'all talked about the passing yards being down. I would rather talk about the rushing yards being up, at least for the winners. Everybody who is, you know, let's say top 15 and up already. I know it's week one, doesn't really mean a lot. But except for, I think it was Lamar, got a win. And they all averaged more than 5 yards, except for maybe James Cook. I think he was a little less than 4 yards. I hope this trend continues for this year. I'm sick and tired of the 50-plus passing yards, or 50 pass attempts, a game. I like grinding out running and defense, man. Those are the kind of games that I appreciate more than the run and gun. You know, the whole offense thing, that's for let's get the casual fans in the game and yada, yada. It would be nice to see ground and pound defensive games more often than, you know, slinging it 40 times and, oh, such and such got 24 targets. You know, it's not something I enjoy. And, I mean, even Brock, you know, he didn't even do that great, but he did exactly what he had to do. Didn't turn the ball over. And he led the team. Mason, J.P. Mason, let's go, baby. Y'all have a good one.
A very, very reasonable Julian. I don't mind it. But to his point, the only player beyond Lamar Jackson, and he's just a different breed playing quarterback, but the only running back who had a reasonable amount of carries and finished in that top 15 who didn't win was Tank Bigsby. He went 12 for 73, 6.1 yards per carry, and his team lost to the Jags partly because his running back mate fumbled a ball into the end zone. Travis Etienne did not have a great day running the football beyond just that fumble, but Bigsby did. It was a weird game to watch. Bigsby, really good, your starter, could get nothing going on the ground. So, yeah, running the football was a thing. Now, the scores were lower in some cases. Joe Mixon leads the league in rushing after 1 week. And obviously, that was a high-scoring game. But is it defenses just deciding we are no longer allowing you to do the things that allow explosive plays? Because we're not just talking about, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, the ones who we don't respect or not playing well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers' first game back, he's under 200 yards, I believe. Justin Herbert, for all the jokes that I will make at his expense, mostly at Chargers fans' expense and NFL media's expense because of how much they loved him early on, under 200 yards. And maybe Jim Harbaugh's just going to mitigate him as far as his importance, and they're just going to play defense and run the football and see how many games they can win because the other way wasn't working for them. I don't know if it's a trend. Like you said, Julian, it's just 1 week. But after 1 week, offenses and throwing the ball around wasn't a thing in football. It wasn't. And I think the stat that Lance found was interesting, too, that touchdown passes in week one were dramatically down from even just simply 2019. And they continue to go down. The trend is, at least in week one, and we talked about it, that the offenses throwing the football are not playing at a smooth and really a pace that we expect. They just don't connect like we expect, particularly from even some of the guys we think a lot of. And you look at the touchdown numbers last year. I think Dak led the league with 30 plus. Was he the only quarterback who to get over 30 last year?
I don't think he was the only one to get over 30, but no one got over 40.
No, not even close.
And he was at, I want to say, like 36.
Yeah, I think he was at 36.
I think your guy too was probably 34.
I remember he was only at 39 going into the playoffs. 29 touchdown passes. Even with the likes of Waddle and Hill, he still only got to 29. I think it's Patrick Mahomes. We know the Chiefs had an off year as far as regular season offense. He was under 30. I think Dak may have been the only one. So maybe we're in a trend where passing offenses, at least passing touchdowns, are going to go down, and grinding it out may be the way forward because defenses have decided, we're passing league or not, we're not going to let you do what you like to do anymore. So it's interesting. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. We'll get to, no matter what you think of Tua as far as who he is as a quarterback, you'll have two productive quarterbacks on the field on Thursday, so that'll be our next opportunity to see Bills Dolphins. We'll see how the quarterback's playing that one on a short week. Let's get to Eric here. He will probably talk about multiple things. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill. Great show. Yeah, I was wondering why ESPN fired Sam Ponder, but they won't fire the racist ladies.
Which racist
Molly
ladies?
Molly Kerim and Monica McNutt, who are racist against Caitlin Clark. And the calls before me, they were terrible, very terrible. I'll hang up and listen.
So you just called in to insult our callers and then accuse Molly Kerim and Monica McNutt of being racist. I can't speak to that. In fact, I don't hear a lot of what they say because I'm in here doing not only this show but the morning show. So I can't speak to McNutt or Kerim's alleged racism, Eric.
I do a lot of watch, when DirecTV carries ESPN. I do a lot of watching a First Take. It's all on mute. But I would say I watch a lot of First Take.
And have you been able to just simply watch and see that they're racist?
No,
you can't
it's
tell.
Hard.
It's hard it's to hard. Just look at them and see.
I can only really tell when someone's angry or befuddled.
Or joyous because they're
joking,
laughing really hard.
Or it's Mad Dog Russo. I can read Mad Dog Russo like a book. Yeah. I know what he's saying with it on mute.
He's very consistent as far as what to expect. I hope the words may be different, but it's all the same thing.
I hope we get ESPN in time for tomorrow because he's on Wednesdays.
It's Mad Dog Wednesdays.
Yeah.
That's right.
I need my Mad Dog Wednesday.
Eric, I'm not calling Kerim and McNutt racist. Just
also, Sam Ponder got fired like a month ago.
Yeah.
and RG3.
Or maybe you're racist, Eric. You didn't mention RG3 getting fired.
Yeah. Let's see how RG3.
You see how easy that is? You see? That's all. Just called you racist for no reason. That's what you did, by the way. The Caitlin Clark conversation, we never really have it on the show, mostly because we don't watch enough of the games to have a really productive one.
That doesn't stop a lot of people.
That's why I don't do it. I know. That's why I put it that way, because I know people will have that conversation because they want to drift it away from the actual on-court stuff. I don't watch enough of the games to have a really informed opinion, and I refuse to have the other conversation because it kind of bores me at this point. Yeah. It's the same conversation over and over again.
You don't want Eric calling you a racist. That's why.
Oh, I don't mind it. I think if Eric's calling me a racist, then I think I'm pretty secure in not being a racist. If Eric Wong is doing it, that's the name he gave himself, not me. Just to push away the allegations after defending myself.
I
didn't call him that. He called himself that. I think he now just wants to go by Eric, but that's was his first name. Anyone else want to throw cast aspersions at people who don't work here or work here? I don't care. You can do that. 713-780-3776. When we come back, we will get to some Texan sound. D'Amico Ryan spoke on the secondary breakdowns, and we had a call about Texans defense that we didn't get to. If you want to call back in, I forgot your name. Sorry about that. You want to get back in, you can do that. But we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans when we come back. He noticed the breakdowns just like we did, and he knows he has to fix them. So we'll hear from him, and we'll get into Stephon Diggs saying something a little aggressive about his offensive line. But he ain't wrong. We'll do some Texan stuff when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
All right. The biggest takeaway as far as a negative, you could say, defensively for the Texans were the big plays given up. Down to down, that defense was pretty good. But big plays by the Colts turned that into a close ball game. Of course, then the Colts had a sustained drive late. That did put the game in question until CJ hit Nico on that third and long conversion that iced the game. But if you want to look play to play, defense pretty good. Big plays change the complexion of the game. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday discussing the breakdowns and what they have to do to change it.
But defensively, you know, we can be better. When it comes to first and foremost eliminating the explosive plays. So we have to definitely get that off of our tape. We have to communicate better, be where we're supposed to be, and just force teams to drive the field.
Pretty quick. D'Amico went on the rest of the presser, but yeah, you want to force teams to make plays consistently against your defense because you think you've built a pretty good unit on that side. There are some questions about secondary. Lance has a connection with the Colts, so he said the Colts felt like they can throw on Kamari Lassiter because they don't think he can run. Now, he has been their starting corner opposite Stingley really since he put on a Texans practice jersey. It really has been no question, it felt like, that he was the guy. Okuda and Henderson were never really a factor, it felt like, so they're gonna have him out there, and he'll have to hold up because Stingley, despite giving up the big play to Pierce, after he got behind him and I think Jimmy Ward, people aren't going to test Stingley that much. They're going to have to go after Lassiter, and maybe more accomplished passing units will look at Lassiter as the easy touch. I wouldn't put the Bears in that category, at least not what we saw from week one. And they may be missing one of the weapons we thought could help Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze. I think he's been listed as an MCL sprain. So if that is the case, although I think he's looking for a second opinion on that. If that is confirmed, don't expect to see him here in Houston on Sunday Night Football. And speaking of Washington wide receivers, did you catch this? I mean, sometimes things slip through the cracks because we're so Texans focused. But in one of the late games on Sunday, Jalen McMillan, I believe is his name. He is a Washington wide receiver. He plays for Tampa. He caught his first touchdown of his career in the opener. And the DB who was in the area, I'm not sure if it was strictly on him, looked like a busted coverage, but Mike Sanders still. He is a DB who used to play for the Michigan Wolverines. Now those two played each other in the title game. We know Sanders still came out on top. When Jalen McMillan caught his touchdown and Sanders still's next to him, he does the OH, like what Ohio State does, which would be fine if Michigan not only hadn't dominated Ohio State and Sanders still's time there, but also hadn't just beaten you in a national title game. So what kind of taunt is OH when you're not from Ohio and you didn't play at Ohio State? What is he doing?
Is he not?
I looked it up. At least initially it said he's from Fresno, California. Unless he was born there and then he moved to Ohio. But even still, Mike Sanistrill doesn't lose to Ohio State. Michigan dominated them when he was there.
Yeah, he went to high school in Fresno.
And he beat you in the title game. So why are you repping Ohio State in his face? Just something that I caught when I was looking at some highlights from rookie players over the weekend. And I saw him catch a touchdown and then do the OH for no real reason other than I'm going to taunt the guy who beat me in the title game. Jalen McMillan, you won the day, yes, on Sunday. But as far as if we're referencing college stuff, I'd stop it. Because he'll always be able to say, I beat you in the title game. And I'm going to look at McMillan's yards in that game and see what he did.
I'm pretty sure that was his At least his first catch of the game.
No, in the title game. Because of Sandstrom and that Michigan defense shut him down. There's even less reason for you to be taunting a Michigan player with the Ohio State celebration.
I mean, I'm remembering the title game. I'm just going to guess that he didn't go off.
It's just a little thing sometimes. The game within the game. And I was like, wait a minute. That name sounds familiar. I know he didn't play at Ohio State. And then he played at Washington, and they played a pretty big game. The last time those two played a game that mattered, Sandstrom was celebrating the national title in your face. What are you doing? Did he have a big game?
I think McMillan scored a touchdown.
Even still, it was one of the few touchdowns they scored in that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't see the – I guess I can pull up the box score. Oh, my God, the computer in here is so slow.
He caught – he went 6 for 33 for a touchdown. In a game, they
6 for 33.
That's Stephon Diggs' numbers. But Stephon Diggs added the second touchdown.
Yeah.
Because the Colts decided we're going to play off coverage inside
six
the 5-yard
line. 33. Jarvis Landry's like, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me a couple rushing attempts, and we're good to go. So I just caught that and thought to myself, Jalen McMillan, know yourself.
That's crazy. Because I saw it on Red Zone. I saw the McMillan touchdown. And I guess I just didn't even – I probably wasn't paying attention to his celebration, honestly. And,
it was lost to them 34-13. Knock it off.
But he had a touchdown.
He did. But you didn't play at Ohio State. You're not from Ohio.
Who, by the way, lost to Michigan.
This is what I pointed out.
I'm just going to guess every year Mike Sandstrom was in college.
Well, he was there a long time. So maybe he played.
Well, the last time Ohio State beat Michigan was 2019. They didn't play in 20, and Michigan's won the last three.
So maybe he had the COVID year. I don't know how long Sandstrom was in college.
Yeah. He started he lost his freshman year.
Because he started out as a wide receiver, then switched to DB. But either way, and Mike Sandstrom led the team in tackles and had a pick for 81 yards, returned for 81 yards
in the title
game. Yeah. So, I mean, it was a pretty good memory.
He
had more yards with the ball in his hand than Jalen McMillan did. I was shocked. And still can't understand what the hell he was doing. But either way, congratulations. You got your first touchdown. You just celebrated it in a very weird way. Imagine a Texas – I don't know how it would work out. Who's a Texas – Jordan Whittington made a tackle, I saw, in the Rams game.
He had a touchdown called back.
In a Rams-Lions game. So imagine if he saw Tarrion Arnold. Well, he could do it to Tarrion Arnold because he beat him in a regular season game. When they went to Alabama in 2023. So he could do it, but even still, Jalen McMillan, know yourself.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
I can't think of an app comparison because this one's so stupid.
It's so hard to think of a one as stupid as
this. It's very dumb, but you did score a touchdown, and that's really cool in your first NFL game.
It's like if Sam Bradford did the gator chomp to Major Wright after the whatever the BCS title game
not,
back in the day.
Not even because the OH has no connection to Jalen McMillan other than it might make Mike Sandstrom mad, although all he really remembers is kicking the crap out of Ohio State throughout his time at Michigan.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. It's so dumb. We can't even find a way to make a real comp to it.
It's like when Davis Warren makes the NFL.
Okay. You're already being ridiculous.
And he does a horns down to Colin Simmons.
No, once again. No.
because it has to be a different
team. It has to be a different team you're taunting. No. It's not the same. It can't be. You have to have a loss. You have to then use the taunt of another team because that's that guy's rival. We'll do the comp during the break. We'll see if we can come back with one.
Jalen McMillan.
He's broken our brains.
Did he have a chalkboard out when he did this?
He's broken our brains. All right. We'll come back with something that I found interesting, only because Peyton Manning went after Brandon Ayuk because Brandon Ayuk dropped the pass from a quarterback, so maybe Peyton's a little sensitive to that. We'll hear from Peyton Manning on the Manning Cast on a play that really riled him up when we come back.
ESPN 97.5. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.